thing I have to say, and all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful way to begin our time of worship this day on this Pentecost Sunday. Thank you, Bert, and thank you, Ron, for our beautiful time of prelude this morning, and we look forward to God continuing to lift up our time of worship this day and our time of music and our time of scripture this morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house on this first Sunday in June. He has blessed us with a beautiful day, and it has already been a wonderful time of gathering this morning. We had a wonderful time of prayer this morning at 9:20. Gay, thank you for leading that time. A rooted prayer time. I want to remind everyone, that is open to anybody that would like to come. Every Sunday morning at 9:20, we gather in the sanctuary to pray, leading into the time of worship, our time of Sunday school every Sunday morning. So join us next Sunday at 9:20 for rooted prayer time. Of course, we had a wonderful Sunday school hour. I heard lots of conversation as I walked the hallways today. So it was great to hear the discussion and the Bible study taking place. If you're not involved with Sunday school, there is a class for you. I don't know which class that is. Just come talk to me about it, and I will help you find that class. But there is a class for you, an opportunity to study God's Word on Sunday morning. Of course, we look forward to our time of worship this morning. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us with your friends and family this morning. I encourage you to turn to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and use that resource there, the bulletin there, to use that as a resource for our worship service, but also for our ministries that are coming up in the life of our church. A few of those I want to point out today. We have a very busy afternoon and evening here at First Baptist Elon. So just a reminder of the things coming up today. We have a wedding shower this afternoon from 3 to 5 in the fellowship hall. It's open to anybody who would like to come. Justin Mofield and Haley Bearfield are being married in just a couple weeks, and we are excited about that. If many of you remember Justin, former pastor Mark Mofield, his oldest son Justin is getting married, and that's hard to believe. Makes me feel a little old this morning, but that's quite okay. But come out and celebrate with them this afternoon from 3 to 5 in the fellowship hall. And we have a wonderful time of gathering, but that'll be upstairs in the fellowship hall. In the children's wing at 5 o'clock, there's a children's activity that Gabe will be leading. So all our children are invited to come at 5 p.m. for that activity. Then our ladies and our men's Bible studies will be wrapping up tonight. We're having double sessions tonight to wrap up our studies. Our ladies' Bible study will be meeting in the Truth Seekers classroom tonight because we're not sure how long they're going to stay in the fellowship hall this evening, so we want to make sure we have enough time. So the ladies will meet in the Truth Seekers classroom, and the men's Bible study will actually take place in the youth room. So just a reminder about that, that's at 5:30 this evening, and if you have not come to one of those studies, you're welcome to come tonight. It's okay, even though it's the last couple sessions for each study, it's still not too late. So come out and join us this afternoon, this evening, for all those ministry opportunities. Gay wanted me to point out this morning a couple senior adult opportunities coming up in the next couple weeks. First, this Tuesday, senior adult breakfast at Carver's this Tuesday at 9 a.m. So if you want to enjoy a great breakfast around the table with our senior adults, meet at Carver's this Tuesday at 9 a.m. You don't have to sign up, just show up. That's how that goes. It's a wonderful time of fellowship with a great group of people. And then we've got a fun and fellowship trip coming up at the end of this month on June 28th. They'll be going to the Howling Cream Dairy at NC State. This is something I don't think the senior adult group has ever done this before. However, I have taste tested the ice cream at NC State, and it is very good. So I encourage you, if you like ice cream, it's well worth going. Sign up in the foyer area or sign up in the Sunday school classrooms. It'll be a wonderful trip for our senior adults coming up on June 28th. Also, something that's taking place this week that I did want to point out this morning is a ministry that has been taking place for many years here at First Baptist Elon that's kind of taken a hiatus over the last couple of years because of COVID, but is starting back up, and that is Circle of Friends. Circle of Friends is a wonderful opportunity of gathering together, praying for many of our senior adult members here at our church, and also an opportunity to go visit. We have a group of dedicated individuals who go and visit some of our homebound senior adults here at First Baptist Elon. And that group is starting back this month. They're going to meet the first Wednesday of each month and meet here upstairs at the Truth Seekers classroom. At least that's where they used to meet. I assume they're going to meet there again this time. But they're going to meet at 1:45 this Wednesday, have a time of prayer, discussion about who they're going to go see that day, and then they'll divide up in pairs and go and visit some of our homebound senior adult members here at First Baptist. It is a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful ministry. And if you would like to be involved with this ministry, please speak to me. Talk to Erling Mann this morning. Talk to Pat. I know Pat's been a part of this ministry as well. And find out more details about it. But all you have to do is show up. And then go visit some of our dearest members here at First Baptist. But that'll start this Wednesday. This coming Wednesday at 1:45. Ministry team, just a reminder, we do have church council next week at 4 o'clock, so mark your calendars, and I hope to see you there. And then our mission gatherings that are taking place, you'll notice those in the bottom of your bulletin this morning, so just please take special note of them. We gather here this morning to lift praise to God. We look forward to seeing how the Spirit will move in this place on Pentecost Sunday. Let us stand and worship together and feel the Spirit this morning. Scripture reading comes from Psalm 104, reading verses 24 through 34 and 35b. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. That's why we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to praise the Lord. And as the scripture said, when you send your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. I don't know about you, but sometimes we need to be renewed by God. Amen? And maybe today is where you are today. Maybe you need to be renewed by God. And that's the power of the Spirit. So let us go to the Lord in prayer, giving thanks that he sent the Spirit to renew us and to challenge us this Pentecost Sunday. Let us pray. God of breath and fire, God of past and future, God of all that is and all that ever shall be. When Jesus knew that he was going to the cross, he promised his disciples that they would not be left alone. Jesus assured them that the Holy Spirit will remain with them, teaching them how to live and reminding them of all he had said. Weeks later, when the day of Pentecost arrived, you poured out your Spirit, giving your disciples the power to speak in many languages and making tongues of flame dance above their heads. Today, we ask that you pour out your Spirit on us as we worship this morning, giving us the wisdom and the courage to live in peace as Jesus' followers. May our worship this morning be evidence of your work in us this day and every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray this morning. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Pentecost Hymn. Let's stand and let's worship together. Through June the 22nd, our church and Elon Community Church have combined our efforts together to host VBS. It will house that Elon community, and we have several of our people going over to help teach the Bible school. So, Mark, if you have grandchildren or children, neighbors, invite everyone to come on June the 19th, that Sunday. They will meet at 5 to have supper, and then a couple games and some crafts. And then Monday through Wednesday from 5:30 to 8:15, they'll provide supper and then, of course, do all the VBS things that you do that night. So encourage anybody that you know, neighbors, to come and support this effort that we're doing. And the name of the VBS is Passport to Peace. Okay? So look forward to seeing some folks. Oh, Arlene's going to pray. Sorry.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Father, we praise your holy name. Indeed, your name is great and greatly to be praised. May the songs sung, the words spoken, the prayers lifted to you, and the sweet spirit in this place be pleasing to you. You provide for us so generously that I pray we will be generous in our dealings with others and in returning a portion of your generosity to you in order to carry out your love and work in this world that is sorely in need. Open our hearts, O Lord, to love genuinely, to be kind to each other, whether we're similar or different, to really listen to the message that you've given David today, that our hearts will be changed, and to extend grace to others as you so graciously do for us. We ask your blessings, O Lord, on the offerings brought today, and ask your guidance in being wise stewards of all resources provided to us. May the light of this church shine brightly in this community as we live our calling. Glory to your name, O Lord. Amen.
special music today. It's good to be blessed with such gifted musicians in our congregation, but it's also a blessing to have special guest musicians to get to come in every once in a while. And Ron, as I said before, you're welcome to come back anytime. Let's prepare to encounter God's word this day by going to him in prayer this morning. Father, in the busyness of life, we do not often stop enough to listen to you, to the still speaking God. And like the people of Jerusalem long ago, we often misunderstand the Spirit's movement among us. In the silence and stillness of this moment, in this hour, on this day, let us draw near to you and listen. Thank you, precious Spirit, for speaking to us this morning. And as we come to you in this worship hour, we confess to you this day that we often confuse unity with uniformity, that in diversity with divisiveness. Renewing Spirit, this day we speak and behave as if being a part of your family means assimilating others to our way of living and thinking. We deny and destroy the beauty you created in each person. O Creator, we long to change these patterns within ourselves, within this church, within our community. But oftentimes we do not know how. Teach us to value this challenge. Help us to see the strength and difference, and empower us to build your kingdom in creativity and love right here. And when we do, Father, we will be assured that we will be able to hear the good news. We'll be able to hear the new good news that God's Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh, and we have been made one. We are no longer scattered or divided, but gathered together to build up the kingdom on this earth. Because that's why you sent your Son, and that's why you sent the Spirit. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist. Thank you for joining us on this first Sunday in the month of June, which is Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday set aside to commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the followers of Jesus Christ while they were gathered in Jerusalem. This day is celebrated approximately 50 days after Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Can you believe that? 50 days after Easter. Wow, how time flies, right? This morning we'll be reading the scripture passage in the book of Acts that describes this historic day in the life of the church. And we'll be reading those in just a few moments. But this morning, I challenge each of you, just as occurred on this fateful day in the life of the church in Jerusalem, to be tuned into what the Holy Spirit might be calling you to do this day and in the days to come. Because it wasn't just about that day. It was about what that day led to. this was the gift that Jesus promised. This was the gift that our Heavenly Father sent, the Holy Spirit, real, dynamic, and working in our lives today. But before we get to our scripture passage, I came across a story. Oftentimes there's stories you come across as a pastor, and then just something about it just captures your mind. And you're like, I got to share that. And I don't know if this goes well with Pentecost or not, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. Just give me the leniency this morning. Came across an interesting story that I think it actually does tie in with Pentecost, and I'm going to try to anyway. The story actually took place in 1926 in Toronto, Canada. In 1926, a Toronto lawyer by the name of Charles Vance Millar passed away, leaving behind a will that both amused and electrified the citizens of this Canadian province. You see, Charles Millar was a bachelor and had a rather, there's no better way to say it, he had a rather wicked sense of humor. And so when he died, in leaving his final will and testament, he decided he was going to have a little uncommon and capricious fun. More likely, he was going to cause some trouble. So here are some of the things that he left in his last will and testament. You see, he had no heirs. He had no one close to him, because that's how he lived his life. And he left some of these things simply to aggravate his newly chosen heirs that he wanted to leave. The will and testament is much too long for me to read in its entirety. You would probably be here till 1 o'clock, and I know y'all don't want to be here till that time. But here are just a few things that I quite enjoyed from his interesting bequest. One, Charles Millar owned quite a few personal shares in the Ontario Jockey Club. Now, if you don't know what a jockey club is, it is a horse racing club. He liked to go to the tracks, and he liked to spend a little bit of money there. So he owned lots of shares in the Ontario Jockey Club, but upon his death, he decided to leave all the shares that he owned to two prominent men who were well-known and very outspoken, outright oppositions to horse racing, just to cause a little trouble. Second, he left his personal shares that he owned quite a bit of, in the O'Keefe Brewing Company. Well, I didn't know anything about O'Keefe Brewing Company. The O'Keefe Brewing Company is a Catholic beer manufacturer. And he owned quite a few shares because it was one of his favorite drinks. And so he left all his shares in the O'Keefe Brewing Company, a Catholic beer manufacturer, to every Protestant minister in Toronto, Canada. Now I was thinking to myself, what if somebody did that to me? What would I do with that? Water and wine, you know, there's something there. But anyway, however, this is the one I want to get to. His most famous bequest was that he would leave the bulk of his fortune to the Toronto woman who gave birth to the most number of children in the 10 years after his death. Now, this clause in his will caught the attention and the public imagination. The country, much like the United States at that time, was entering the Great Depression. People struggled to meet even the most basic economic responsibilities. So the prospect of some enormous windfall was naturally quite alluring. Newspaper reporters over the next 10 years scoured the public records to find the likely contenders for what became known as the Great Stork Derby. Nationwide excitement over the Stork Derby built quickly. Finally, in 1936, 10 years after Charles Millar's death, four mothers, proud producers of 9 children apiece in a 10-year span, divided up Charles Millar's remaining will and testament. each receiving what was at that time a staggering sum of $125,000. Now, Charles Millar caused much mischief with his last will and testament. This was his final legacy that he left on this earth. My question today for you is this: what is the legacy that you want to leave on this earth? Hear a pin drop. What is the legacy that you want to leave? Millar was all about causing trouble. But what is the legacy that you and I want to leave on this earth? And that's why I think this story ties into Pentecost. Because our lasting legacy on this earth ties directly into what happened on that Pentecost Sunday. It ties directly into the story we're going to read in just a moment. Because what did Jesus leave? What did he leave on this earth? What did he bequeath as his legacy to his followers when he left this earth? Not a last will and testament, but instead he left the Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit that he gave to you, and a Holy Spirit that he gave to me. A Holy Spirit that comforts, a Holy Spirit that guides, a Holy Spirit that empowers all of us. Today, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the church because of this final act. So let's read this morning the story of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. You can turn in your Bibles if you have it with you this morning, or you can follow along on the screen behind me. The great story of Pentecost is a powerful story that should remind the church of our birth and our mission. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. After the crucifixion, the disciples had been afraid for their lives, terrified, and they had locked the door of the upper room where they met together. They were afraid, but now they were afraid no longer. The coming of the Holy Spirit transformed the disciples from fear to confidence. Do you hear the transition? From fear to confidence. That's what the Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit gave them the courage to go out into Jerusalem, a city that they were terrified to walk the streets in, and it empowered them to go out and spread the message, to declare the resurrection of Jesus to a city whose people had so recently called for his death. That's the power of the Spirit. That's the power of the Spirit in our lives. The Peter we read about in Acts seems very different from the Peter from the Gospels that we read about just a few verses earlier. The Holy Spirit had refined and honed his good qualities and pared away the bad. I think all of us need a little bit of that, right? Pare away the bad, hone in on the good. I know I do. The courage to speak out, for example, remained, but the words spoken are no longer quick and without thought, which is what Peter often did. Now they were cogent, considered, and wise, but he was still Peter. He was still Peter. The Holy Spirit had not destroyed his essential self and replaced it with something new and alien. No, his basic personality remained the same, but it had been refined and strengthened in a way that Peter had never experienced before, so that he became closer not only to what God wanted him to be, but closer to what he wanted to be himself. That's the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit doesn't just draw us closer to God, it draws us closer to who we want to be. Peter's undoubted courage was demonstrated on several occasions in the Gospels, but while Peter trusted in his own strength, it inevitably led him down and it led him to denial. This same courage, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, became infinitely dependable and sure. In Acts chapter 2, we heard Peter quote the prophet Joel, who said that God's Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all who believe. Isn't it amazing that Scripture talks about you and me thousands of years ago? That's the power of a living, breathing, and dynamic word. When Peter said these words from Joel, he was talking about you. He was talking about me. When he said the Spirit is being poured out on all who believe, put your name in there, that's who he's talking about. That's the power of Scripture. The Holy Spirit does not invade us unasked. But if we truly wish to receive it, it is there for each one of us for the asking. If we truly want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, it will be because we want to change and will welcome the change that the Spirit will bring. It will also mean that we will be recognized by other believers. Because when the disciples spoke, all those other believers started recognizing and hearing and saying, hey, that's God speaking through these individuals. It will also mean we start recognizing our own inabilities and recognizing where God is lifting us up. If the Holy Spirit had not come upon the apostles at Pentecost, it is probably the fact that Christianity never would have spread very far. Those who had known Jesus and followed him would have probably held on to their belief for a few more years, certainly for a while, maybe to the end of their lives. At best, if the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on the believers of that time, Christianity would have lingered probably as a sect of Judaism, itself a minority religion at that time, did not even seek out converts. And possibly in time, Christianity may have merged back into mainstream Judaism. Did you ever think about that? The what ifs? What if? What if God did not intercede on our behalf? What if God never sent the Holy Spirit? In today's society, the population of our country is growing, but church doors are closing. Unless we can flip that trend, reverse that trend, we may reach a situation when faith will simply fade away. You probably have heard it before, I may have even said it, we're one generation from Christianity disappearing. All it takes is for one generation just to stop spreading the message of Christ, and the message is gone. Erasmus, the famous Renaissance scholar, once told a classic story which was designed to emphasize how important it is that we take up the torch of Christ's ministry with great commitment and to take that power of the Spirit in what we do. In the story, it goes that Jesus returns to heaven after his time on earth as he ascends into heaven, and Jesus begins to tell all the angels that are gathered around him what happened while he was on earth and all the days that took place. He tells of his miracles. He tells of his teachings. He tells of his death on the cross and his resurrection. And then when he finishes the story, Michael the archangel asks Jesus, But what happens now? What's the rest of the story? And Jesus answered, well, I've left behind 11 faithful disciples and a handful of men and women who have faithfully followed me. They will declare my message and express my love. These faithful people will build my church. But, responds Michael, what if they fail? What if those people fail? What then is the other plan? What's plan B? And Jesus said, I have no other plans. As the body of Christ, we, like the apostles, are charged with the duty of preaching the gospel, sharing the message. And it's not all about what we can do. It's what we can do with the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that we cannot do with God inside of us, inspiring us, empowering us. It is up to us to bring today's world this wonderful, glorious gospel of love and salvation and redemption that has sustained and comforted people for 2,000 years. And Jesus is counting on you, and he's counting on me. There is no plan B. But the good news is we're not alone, because the Holy Spirit is here to melt us and mold us and fill us and use us in a way that God sees fit. At Pentecost, nearly 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit gave the disciples the ability to speak in the language their listeners needed in order for them to hear and understand. I don't know if this was literally the ability to speak in different languages or whether the Holy Spirit was so powerful in them that the need for language was just transcended. This is a God thing we just don't know the answer to. But allowing the Holy Spirit to speak directly to the heart, that's what we know happened. Whatever the case, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us find the language of today. The language of today. Notice I didn't say the language of 2,000 years ago. Notice I didn't say the language of 100 years ago. And notice I did not say the language of 50 years ago. That's the language of today. 2022. That's the year we all live in. We need to learn the language. We have a message to deliver. It is quite literally a life or death message. But for some reason, we do not seem to be very effective in delivering it. We need to find the language that will speak to people today, that will reach out and touch their lives and their hearts in a way that they've never felt before. We need to do this both as individuals and collectively as a church. If we try to do it out of our own strength, we will almost certainly get it wrong. We'll get it wrong. We may try to hold on to do things we ought not to change. We may try to hold on to things the way it used to be. But we're not living in a time of the way things used to be. We're living in today. Every one of us is living in today. It's June 5th, 2022, if you didn't know. We live today. We may be tempted to tell people what we think they want to hear rather than what God knows they need to hear. And if we trust in God and let the Holy Spirit guide us, not by our own power, but what God is inspiring us to do, we will be able to give God's unchanging, eternal message of love in a way that is new and fresh and needs to be heard. And now Jesus did not tell his disciples they wouldn't go through difficult times. He did not say they would not have problems. In fact, their problems would dwarf most of the problems that we face today. What he did promise them, however, was a peace of mind. He would send them upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit to give them courage and comfort when things seemed out of sorts, when things seemed uncomfortable, when things just did not seem right. They would be warriors and not worriers. A, not an O. And that is the same promise Christ offers us today. So back to my opening story. What's the legacy that you want to leave? What's the legacy that you want to leave on this earth that God has blessed us with? I think it has something to do with Pentecost. And if you don't, maybe go back to listen to my sermon again. You can find it on Facebook Live. Let's pray. Father, what an awesome gift it was when you poured out the Spirit upon your disciples, and the Spirit has been molding and shaping us every step since then. Father, may we feel the Spirit moving in our lives, individually and as a congregation, challenging us to make a difference in the world in which we live, June 5th, 2022, right now, in this time. May our message be clear. May our message be understood. May our message be rooted in the love that you have shown for us. That's the power of Pentecost. That's the power of this day. And that's the legacy that we want to leave. We lift this in the name of the Father, the Son, and thankfully, the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, maybe today for the very first time you recognize that God has been shaping and molding you from the very beginning. You just really didn't realize what it was. If that's where you are today, I'll be down front. Come see me. Let me talk to you about what that is. Or maybe today you felt the Spirit moving in a way that is challenging you to join a body of believers that is seeking to make a difference in this world, in this day and age. Maybe First Baptist Elon's that home for you. Or today the Spirit may be moving in some way that I can't even begin to explain from this pulpit this morning. But you know it, and you feel it. If the Spirit's moving, the altar's open. If the Spirit's moving, your seat is right there. If the Spirit is moving, God is here. Don't shoo it away. Accept it. Feel it. Be challenged by it. Let's stand and sing. Pentecost is that the Spirit went with them where they went. It doesn't stay here. It doesn't stay here till next Sunday. Take the Spirit with you. Let it transform you and move you and make a difference in this world today. Go in peace.